every superpower has the flip side of that coin, the fatal flaw. Right? And so just like Superman has his kryptonite, or Wonder Woman has her bracelets of victory that she can't remove without going mad. I mean, you probably have a flaw that's held you back in your business, something you struggled with. And what flaw is, how have you worked to overcome it so you can continue to grow your business the way you have been over the last few years?
So I was thinking about impatience. I think in the past, I have been impatient at times and I have rushed ahead of the timeline. And I think sometimes it's just not time yet. It's just not time. And so it's having wisdom and sitting back. And it doesn't mean that you can't take action. It just means that I think it's really important to read the people in the room, so to speak, and read the people that you're working with and think about really what they want and also where they are at the current time and what they're facing and if they're going to have capacity to receive what you're saying or what you're working on, what you're doing. The other one, probably the biggest one though, is fear. You know, starting something where I was going to be really advising people, there's a great weight and a responsibility that comes with that. And, you know, there's constant fear, and the fear can sometimes be, am I good enough? Am I qualified? Am I going to do a good enough job? Am I going to get this right? Do I know what I'm doing? You know, all of those thoughts that you can have, and they creep in. So you might be someone who's telling you that, like, I'm good. I've been doing this for years. Like, I know what I'm doing. And I could probably have sometimes said the same thing, but I think if you start looking beyond the surface and you dig into like what's going on in your subconscious mind, you really listen to those thoughts, you will find there is fear buried under.
Are an inspiring group of people. Every one of them, from the larger-than-life comic book heroes you see on the big silver screen, to everyday heroes that let us live the privileged lives we do. Every hero has a story to tell, from the doctor saving lives at your local hospital, to the war veteran down the street who risked his life for our freedom, to the police officers and the firefighters who risk their safety to ensure ours. Every hero is special and every story worth telling. But there is one class of heroes that I think is often ignored. The entrepreneur, the creator, the producer. The ones who look at the problems in this world and think to themselves, you know what, I can fix that. I can help people. I can make a difference. Then they go out and do exactly that by creating a new product or introducing a new service. Some go on to change the world. Others make a world of difference to their customers. Welcome to the Hero Show. Join us as we pull back the masks on the world's finest heropreneurs and learn the secrets to their powers, their success, and their influence, so you can use those secrets to attract more sales, make more money, and experience more freedom in your business. I'm your host, Richard Matthews, and we are on in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome back to The Hero Show. My name is Richard Matthews, and today I have the pleasure of having live on the line, Lauren Shippey. Lauren, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. So glad to have you here, Lauren. I know we were just chatting ahead of time. You're out in Florida. Is it starting to warm up there for you already in the springtime?
It is. We're excited. It is spring break season here in Florida.
And, you know, for my audience who follows us around, we are currently in Illinois visiting my wife's family. And I don't know if you've ever been out to the Midwest, but they have, their weather has ADHD. And so like yesterday it was 78 degrees and today it's 50 degrees. So it's like 28 degrees colder today. That's why I got a jacket on, because it's freezing, but it'll be hot tomorrow. So, you know, springtime is all over the place out here.
That's good. Well, we're about to go up to, we're on the fast track to the 90 degree weather. So I think I'm just going to take in this nice spring weather in March.
Enjoy the spring. Yeah, we're looking forward to get back to Florida. My son and I want to go do some windsurfing this summer. So hopefully it'll be warm and, you know, get out on the beach and do those kind of things. So what I want to do before we get too far into this is go through a brief introduction for our audience. They know who you are, and then we'll dive into your story. So Lauren is an entrepreneur with a background in operations, marketing, and strategy, driving results, and mapping out a path forward for many organizations. She's worked for multiple startups over the years, assuming the role of COO early in her career. And she co-founded a family investment office out of Philadelphia, the DeSimone Group Investments, in 2012, which let her be a part of building, evaluating, and consulting with startups across multiple sectors. And you now practice doing what you love every day by providing strategy to companies of all sizes through StoryWork, your own consulting agency, which was founded in 2016. So I know that's a sort of a brief introduction, but I want to take that. And why don't we start with what it is that you're known for now? What's your business like? What do you do for them? You know, who do you serve, basically?
Sure. Yeah, I love that. So there's three different pillars under StoryWork. And it starts with strategy, because that's really the foundation of good business, right? And then we move into marketing. We provide marketing. I'm a partner in a full service marketing agency, and the leadership consulting. So that really helps people unpack their identity-based strategy, we call it. And it's really, what is your bigger picture? What is your why? And how does your vision, mission, and core values develop from that place? And then how do you translate that into a message that really resonates with your audience? And I think especially now, we know, with the rise of AI and all the things, just wonderful, and it can be used in really great ways to be more productive. But I think that we're going to need more meaningful, intentional touch points in our businesses. And so that is what Storywork is focused on, really helping individuals and leaders and companies identify that messaging that really resonates, those intentional rhythms that are going to make all the difference for their businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I love the name Storywork. The things that I've been really talking a lot about over the last few years is this idea that storytelling is a foundational skill of like human progress, if nothing else. And the idea that your message and the story that you're trying to get across, like I said, more relevant now than ever, because you have to connect human to human. Even if you're using AI tools to help assist with your storytelling, you still have to be able to have that, I call it the spark of divinity, right? That can only come from the human aspect of whatever you're building. So you have to learn how to tell your story. And so I love that.
That's so good. And, you know, our tagline is define your story and make it matter. And a lot of leaders and brands might have a vision and mission statement and, you know, some idea of why they do what they do. But I'm always blown away. I was sitting in a session last week facilitating with a leadership group, and it was amazing as we went back through their lives and as we were talking about their bigger picture, why we were actually able to uncover what drove each of them earlier in their lives and how that impacted their bigger picture why and how it translated into their leadership strategy and core values today. Those are the moments that really drive me to do what I do. And then we were able to translate that into their marketing messaging, which actually makes them stand out, right? Because they're in architecture and construction. So the competition here in South Florida is fierce, right? The industry that they're in, there's a lot of players. What's going to make them stand out, right? It's really human to human connection.
Yeah. We have what I tell people we're a story-born people. And what that means is that we actually judge the depth of our relationships based on how much of the other person's story that we know. And the way I explain it to clients is like this, right? Because you can prove it just in our own language. And so an acquaintance or a stranger is someone you don't know their name, you don't know their story. An acquaintance is someone who you know their name, but you don't know any of their story. A friend is someone who you know their name and you know a lot of their stories. And a best friend is someone who you know their name and you know so much of their story that you understand when they're making changes, when they're telling their stories to other people. And the only way to go out and deepen that relationship is to create new stories together, to create new things together. And to like, our language actually shows us that we define our relationships by the other person's, how much of the other person's story that we know. And so what you're talking about is applying those principles to business. Because if you want to drive leads, you don't drive sales, you have to get your audience to know your story, to know your humanity, in order to move forward.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's how people can connect, right? People like to connect with people. And so we were talking a lot about this at a conference I was speaking at just like 2 weeks ago. And, you know, we were talking about the rise of AI and how it can be used and how it's wonderful. And you can have conversations with it. You can, right? Conversational generation of AI, which is super helpful. But then really what it comes down to is tweaking that content to insert it with real human story and emotion, right? So it can generate something really wonderful and increase, like decrease your work time, but really then that brain space should be used for intentional generation of strategy and parts of your story to connect as humans. So that's just something that we were talking about recently. And I think it's so important, and it's going to become more and more important as more content is generated. Right. And I think, you know, AI can speed everything up and there could be so much blog content out there, right? You could generate a million blog posts to put on your site or whatever it is to, you know, boost your rankings. But I think at the end of the day, there's going to be so much dilution, but those that know their story and they know the parts of their story that resonate will win at the end of the day, those businesses, because people will crave even more than ever authenticity and intentionality, and also delight. Inserting delight into customer experiences is huge too, because people really, at the end of the day, they want to be seen, known, and heard. They do. And when they feel seen, known, and heard, they want to engage with you. They want to do business with you. It doesn't matter if it costs more money. It doesn't matter if maybe the product isn't a perfect fit for you. If they are considering multiple brands, they will go with you if they feel connected to you and if they feel like you understand them. And this is a whole one-liner. I think I shared it on social a while ago. Like, marketing is meaningless if it isn't relevant to me. So if I don't feel like a brand is truly taking the time to see, know, and hear their people, I really won't engage with it because I just don't feel like it connects, you know? And so I think there's just going to be such a move of this new strategy. And I think we've got to be ready for it as entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I know. One of the things that I've really been looking at in that, just in that world of connecting with people, is that things like this kind of an interview where it's you and I talking human to human is going it's going to go up in value a lot faster than it would have if the AI revolution didn't happen last year, right?
Yeah.
And because like just like you said, I know people who are doing this that are creating 600, 700 SEO blog articles a day and publishing them. And
crazy.
Sure, you can do that, but it will lack the human connection. It'll lack the human touch. And it's kind of thing like, you know, when we talk our agency, we talk a lot about podcasts and storytelling because that's what we do. And we've been talking a lot about that nowadays. Like it's going to be a good long while before you can replace your face and your voice in an actual human conversation like this in a way that is believable in any sort of way. So like this sort of format, whether it's long form as a podcast or short form on YouTube, you know, YouTube shorts, it's like actual face to camera content of like human beings actually connecting with one another is going to be, I think, incredibly valuable moving forward and sharing your stories.
That's so good. And you know what came to mind as you were talking about that? So, you know, the friends that say they're generating hundreds of blogs every day to boost SEO rankings and all of those things. And will that work? Yes. But when they get there, what do they see? And that's really when we come into the mix. And I think that's what's so important about what we do is we're focused on, is there depth and substance and connection when they get there, right? So what happens when they come to you? If you get the lead, right? If we're looking at the sales funnel, sure. If you have an awesome top of the funnel, that's amazing. Like you can get the leads there. But then when they get to you, do they feel connected? Is there something that engages them? Is there, you know, a lead generator or content or value add that is relevant to them? That's the important stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I don't think the world is quite ready for all the shifts that are going to happen. And I think right now, learning how to get good at telling your own story is going to put you further ahead of all the people who are trying to replace the humanity in their business with robots. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking about a particular story of a client that I had and, you know, just working with them on the redevelopment of their brand and their space. And what really drove them was a loss in their family of a sibling earlier in life. And we were talking about just their life and what they've been through in the different seasons of their life. Sometimes that's part of the process. That's part of the identity-based strategy as the leader. And it really came out that they always felt a call and a sense of duty because they were still there and their sibling was not. And so living life to the fullest every day and like representing almost, they felt the weight of that responsibility. And so we came up with just their process of how they would approach their business, like servant leader first, you know, always like seeking to make things right, always showing up no matter what in the good and the hard. And so it's just so interesting how that piece of the story was drawn out. And that's the fuel that connects everything else, right? So you can use that and say, hey, this is why you do this. This is really what drives you. And we can weave different parts of that into your strategy. We may not be telling that story in particular, but we know really like the why behind what you do. So that's just an example of how this can serve to create meaning. And I think that type of meaning and depth, once cultivated in the leader and the leadership team, can then really translate to cast vision for the entire team. So everybody, whether they're sweeping the floors, right, or they're in a management position, or they're the president of the company, they have meaning behind what they do. And they know that the leader and the leadership team has genuine intent and meaning behind what they do. And then they're going to want to wake up and do what they do every day well, right? They're going to have buy-in. And I think it's the same with generating content and connecting with our audiences. If we don't have that depth or substance, or we haven't really looked at ourselves to say, why am I doing this? Like, what do I actually stand for or want to stand for or be known as? And I think people can sense that. I think people are actually getting really good at being discerning and perceptive in those things. And I see that only increasing, like you're saying, with people being able to read through the fluffy stuff versus the depth.
Yeah. Of content. Strategy right now, just to tie this all sort of together in a bow, AI is useful and you can ask it to create things, but it is a horrible use of the tool. What is a much better use is learning how to separate the, what I call it, the creativity from the structure. And AI is good at structure, but it's really bad at creativity. And so creativity, we just, you know, to bring this all back in, is knowing your why, knowing that spark of divinity and being able to understand like what's the humanity that you're bringing to this. That's what creativity is. Creativity is the humanity. It's your story. It's the thing that drives you. And what's interesting to me is if you actually use a lot of these generative AI tools, you can separate the two things. You can separate the structure from the creativity. And, you know, and you probably know this as much as anyone else because you do the content creation. You just, like you said, you just finished a book that is, I understand too, the Seen, Known, and Heard, which is coming out shortly. So you've been through this. When you're creating, we create in the structure that we're going to finish, right? So if you're writing a blog post, we'll create in the structure of a blog post. If we're writing a book, we'll create in the blog post. If we're creating a painting, we'll paint on the canvas. So we're always creative inside the context of a structure. And what's interesting about the AI stuff is you can use it now where you can actually be creative outside the context of a structure and use the AI to help you structure those ideas into different different outputs. And so a lot of what I've been teaching our staff to do and what I've been doing myself is like, hey, just pour all of your thoughts and your creativity and your stories into, say, one of these chatbots and say like, okay, now I want to take all of those ideas and use them, use the language and the things that I talked about, and let's turn it into a blog post, or let's turn it into an article, or let's turn it into a chapter of our book. And then the creativity is separate from the structure and you can actually get a lot of work out of the same sort of thing. And then when you look at the outputs versus when you say, hey, AI, create a blog post about XYZ versus here's 2 hours of me talking about this idea, let's write a blog post about it. Now the blog post is infused with your humanity and infused with your story. And it did remove a lot of the time that would go into like actually creating those kind of things. But I think it's just a matter of how you use the tool. Right? You can use a hammer to build a house, or you can use it to destroy things, right? It's the same sort of world. It's just a new tool. And I think people are struggling with how do you use this the best way possible.
That's right. That's so true. And, you know, at first, I think there was, you know, a lot of fear around AI. And, you know, I think there still is a little bit of like, oh, what do we get ourselves into? Or what's actually going to happen with this, right? And I think it comes back to motive and intent at the end of the day. And I think it is our responsibility as entrepreneurs and leaders to create well, to create things that will truly serve the people that we're creating for. And I think that if we're using AI with that intent, so the fact that like, hey, this can actually increase our productivity so that we can serve more people, or we can, you know, align better with our true vision and mission and to stay on point, then I think it's a wonderful thing. So again, you know, I think it just really comes back to intent, but I see really our job as entrepreneurs, and, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, is, you know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there that do what they do solely because they feel a responsibility to people, to humankind, right? At large. And so I think that's what true entrepreneurship really looks like in the heart of it. And what I've seen over the years with our family investment office and watching all of the companies develop, and then, you know, also just being a part of building several startups. And I would say that it's encouraging to see up close, because it is truly, there are a lot of founders that, you know, I'll use an example of one of her companies. She created a solution. She had an elderly mom, and she created a solution that was a watch that had true fall detection that was connected. And it can, you know, it can share medicine reminders. That, you know, it's a lot more in depth than just something like the Apple Watch. Well, the Apple Watch is amazing. It's developed solely for this purpose. And she developed that out of seeing her mom struggle, right? And so, you know, I think when I look at things like that, it's so encouraging to see that journey of the entrepreneur and them creating something meaningful. And therefore, her marketing is meaningful because she's telling her personal story.
Yeah, right. It comes right back down to learning how to tell your story and how to tell it well, which I actually think is a good transition point into your story, right? We talk on this show, every good comic book hero has an origin story. It's the thing that made them into the hero they are today. And we want to hear that story. Were you born a hero, or were you bit by a radioactive spider that made you want to get into marketing and leadership development? Or did you start a job and eventually become an entrepreneur? Basically, how did you get here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I always describe it just as a long, winding road. So my journey, and I think a lot of entrepreneurial journeys, it was not linear. It was not a straight line. It was not a ladder, like, you know, that was climbed. It was one step at a time. It was, you know, keeping a steady pace and just being ready for the next adventure, right? So when I graduated college, we had a family business. And when I graduated, I was planning on going into that family business, but we ended up actually deciding to sell the business. And that was prior to 2008. So my whole world was a little bit disrupted in terms of what I thought I was going to be doing. Looking back, I think it's one of the best things that could have happened to me. But at the time, I was like, well, what am I going to do? Like, what now? And so we had an old family friend that had started a real estate investment trust and asked me if I wanted to come work. So I started in sales and I was making cold calls all day. I hated it. I hated cold calls. He made me do it. Go to every networking meeting there was, conferences, just taking it all in, just, you know, just consuming anything that he would share with me, books, like podcasts, all the things, and just worked my way up, worked my way into operations and left that company really acting as the COO there. And so I went on to do something similar for a startup out of California for a while, worked remotely. That was a really great experience. And then went back and my dad and I started the family investment office. So that was just such an experience and just learned so much and working with the team there. And so it was just slow and steady, right? Each of those experiences built on each other. And then, you know, fast forward to 7 years ago, I decided to start StoryWork. I always knew I wanted to be in consulting, but you can't just graduate college and be in consulting, right? You got to put your time in. And got my master's during that time and just put the reps in, you know, put the reps in. And then I started working with different companies and individuals on life and business strategy and just consistently showed up, you know. And about, I would say, 5 or 6 years ago, I started the podcast, the Strategy Game podcast, and just consistent built an e-course right around the strategy map that I was using with entrepreneurs. Started a mastermind that was just a great group of people. And one of them was my business partner now in what was the marketing engine. And so over COVID, we actually figured out that our services layered on top of each other, that I was the strategy. So I would come in first, and I still do this, obviously, find out who they really serve, where they go every day, what they do, what the experience looks like. And she takes that and looks at the data and then translates it and figures out how to push it out to the market in strategic ways. And so we built the marketing engine, which is our full service marketing agency. And then, you know, somewhere in there about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I started writing the book, Seen, Known, and Heard. And that was just a culmination of experiences and things I really sensed that I was supposed to write about. And so here we are today to this point. And so I can just say that it's a long, winding road. It's one thing at a time. But there are certain moments that you look back and you understand how all of those pieces fit together and how all of those pieces formed who you are today. And I really think, I believe this more and more every day, that it's not about what you do or what you accomplish, but it's really about who you are and who you are becoming. Because when you become when you cultivate wisdom, when you cultivate maturity and growth and generosity and all of these things, the rest really does follow. And so I guess if I've learned anything over the years, it's just to be intentional, but also be flexible.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if you ever seen that graphic, your story reminds me of that graphic where it's like what entrepreneurs think their story is going to look like. And it's like this, a straight line up with all these points on it. And then it's like the other side, what it actually looks like. And it's just like all over the place.
100%. That's it. That's me.
Yeah. Just you've been in all sorts of different places doing lots of different things. And eventually it leads you here. And I love the StoryWork brand name I mentioned already, but getting to the point where you sort of figure out like everything sort of builds on each other and then it gets you to where you are now, which is really cool. So what I want to talk about is the superpowers that you have developed over the course of this journey, right? And we, you know, every iconic hero has their superpowers, whether that's their fancy flying suit made by their genius intellect or the ability to call down thunder from the sky or super strength. In the real world, heroes of what I call a zone of genius, which is either a skill or a set of skills that you were born with or you develop over the course of your career. And these really are what the superpower is, what energizes all your other skills. And so the way I like to frame it for my guests is, if you look at everything that you've developed over the course of your career, there's probably a common thread that ties all those skills together. And so with that sort of framing, what do you think your superpower is in your business today?
Ooh, I love that question. That's such a good question. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking back to being a kid. So I grew up as an only child. So thinking through kind of background, where I came from, and then how it impacts how I am today. So I had a lot of time, obviously, like, you know, playing with friends and whatever, but I also had a lot of time to myself. And I just remember sitting in my room and writing and drawing and thinking. And I think I really attribute a lot of that to time that I was given as a child to develop the art of thinking and reflecting. And as I look back over my life, I think I've always just been a person that will stop at different points and look at the bigger picture. And so I think that's really the common thread throughout everything I've done, like all the decisions that have happened in my life, all of the different scenarios, even the strategies I develop, the visions for specific people and leaders as they develop. It just comes from that place of zooming, being able to zoom out and being able to reflect and then generate a strategy from that place. Like, that is, in my mind, the secret sauce. It's just being able to do that and slow down.
So like the reflection, the ability to see like the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. The whole picture for people and companies. But here's the downside to that. I can often see it before it actually happened. So then you can see it long before something comes to fruition. So it's also then learning to be patient as you watch them like go through that process, right? You know, and that whole life thing that can sometimes get in the way. But also, you know, we need it, right? Timing is everything.
It's an interesting framing for a superpower too, because it's not a thing. One of the things that I've noticed with clients all over the years is that it's not always possible for other people to see the potential in something, right? The way I like to explain that to people, there's certain people who can look at a house that's a fixer-upper and see the potential of what it could look like if you fixed it up and flipped it and made a profit. And there's other people who look at it and they just see the house in its current state. And they're like, nope, I don't see what this could be. They just see what it is. And so the ability to see what it could be, and then it sounds like not just the ability to see what it could be, but to see the path to how you get there. And that's where the strategy comes in, is really where your superpower is at. It's in that ability to see the path of like, hey, this is the potential that's here, and here's how we get from here to that potential.
That's right. Yeah, that's the blueprint. It's creating blueprints for people to walk in based on who they are. That's why we call it identity-based strategy, because it's really, once I'm able to take or the company or brand story, then I'm able to just build this strategy map of, okay, what does it look like? Phase one, phase two, phase three. I can see that roadmap.
Don't have the same ability to see the potential that you do. So how do you paint that picture for them and help them see where they could get to and how they need to take the steps that they're going to need to take?
Well, I think that's really where the coaching and the mentoring comes in, right? Because I can put together a strategy, and oftentimes they can see the roadmap, if it's a marketing engine roadmap or if it's a vision, a mission, how they're going to scale their business. But then it's walking alongside of them to say, hey, let me bring you up here. Let me bring you up higher. Let me get you out of working in the business to working on the business, right? Entrepreneurs know that e-myth mastery stuff. And I think it's just making space for them. I would argue that I know some personalities, it is harder for them to see the bigger picture. But I think a lot of it can be traced back to busyness, constant barrage of notifications, distraction, you know, all of those things. And so if I can help them get quiet to be able to reflect and look at the roadmap and spend some time with it, then they can start to see, right, what I'm seeing for them too. And then it's that process of, you know, them pushing back and saying, okay, well, this part I don't think is me, or this part, you know, needs to be tweaked. And so it's this collaborative process of like moving from here to there over the journey. But I would say, honestly, the biggest piece of them being able to see it is getting quiet, reflection.
I like that. If it's vice versa, I know we were talking ahead of time, my sort of life philosophy on like permission to play, that you have to take that time for yourself. That's not in the work mode. to shut everything down so you can actually have the space to think and to reflect and to look at, you know, the bigger picture of your life and your business and where you're going.
You know, yeah, so good. Yeah, I was just saying that a few of my best ideas and even the outline for this book came to me while I was not sitting at my desk or computer, usually while I'm sitting outside or I don't have technology with me. And I think there's something to be said for that, you know, allowing space for that.
Yeah, there's definitely something important about, you know, I said you used the word like the time to reflect or like sit down or whatnot. And you know, I always just call I umbrella term, I call it play, right? So it's rest, yeah, relaxation, playing, like the stuff that's not work, right? When you can turn it all off. And, you know, for me, sometimes it's pretending to play phone calls with my toddler, right? Or whatever's going on, right? My son is always into video games and whatnot. So we play video games together, or we're, you know, I'm helping him make a sword at the moment. It's like that kind of stuff. It's not work, it's play. And that's when you have all your best ideas and when you have all your best ability to reflect and to just separate and bring that creativity. And I know we talked about this a minute ago about where the humanity comes in, right? And the humanity comes into your business by actually living life, right? You have to have good food and good travel and good friends and good sex and like all the stuff that goes into, like, you have to live life so that you can actually tell a story, right?
Right.
And so like we have to give ourselves permission to actually go and live life and slow down.
That's really true. And you know, the thing is, I think we can often forget because we can put ourselves into boxes or we can give ourselves constraints, right? And a lot of it happens subconsciously. And I think it comes back to looking at the thoughts that we're having every day, all day. Like, where are we boxing ourselves in where we're actually free, right? But like, and that happens really quickly. Like, we can think, well, I have to do this. I have to sit here from 9 to 12 and do this. Or I have to X, Y, and Z, right? Or I have to make sure that I call all these people back to make them happy. Or, you know, there's just a lot of things that can box us in and weigh us down. And I always think of the rocks in the backpack analogy. So we're just putting more rocks in and we're just getting weighed down, right? By maybe false assumptions, false judgments, false ideas of maybe what we have to do or be. And I think those things can really hinder the entrepreneurial journey. So if we can create some space to look at them and catch those thoughts, and we talk about this in the book a lot, of actually just catching those thoughts and reeling them in, even just for a day, if you just take one day and say, hey, I'm going to pay attention to what I'm thinking and where I'm maybe putting myself in some boxes. I promise you, I mean, it will be a game changer because you'll be able to look at it and say, wait a minute, I don't actually have to do that. Or why am I doing that? Maybe I'm just doing it for somebody else, but it's not actually serving me or even them, right? So I think those are some of the things that are not necessarily business tasks, but they're incredibly impactful and important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the phrasing you use there about, you know, asking yourself, you know, is it true, right? Mm-hmm. Is it actually that we actually have to be doing? And one of my mastermind buddies, she always asks that question anytime that I, you know, for lack of a better term, anytime I bring up my bullshit, she'll always be like, yeah, you know, is that true, right? That's the question that's she always asks. Right. You'll say these things, and you think these things. And then the question that she's like, always ask yourself this is it true? And that's where you're like, to your point, do we have to sit here from 9 to 12? Do I have to return all these calls? Is it true? Right. Or is that just something that I have decided that needs to happen?
That's
and
right.
That's such a simple question of, is it true? And you just ask it to those thoughts and you're like, oh, it's freeing.
Yeah. It's incredibly freeing because then it allows us to take rocks out of our backpack every time we discover that maybe something is not actually true, or we don't actually have to do that, or we're not held to that particular standard, right? And so what a great way to free yourself to be able to run the race that you can run, that only you can run. And I always say this too. I mean, we're talking a lot about, you know, who you are as a leader in a company and all that stuff, but there really is only one you. Like, there's no one else like you. There's no one else that has your exact DNA. And so nobody else will do things the way you will. And so even in your life, in your relationships, in your leadership, in the way you would develop a brand or whatever you're building or creating, no one else is going to do it that way. And the more rocks we have in our backpack, assumptions, judgments, you know, maybe falsehoods, things we're believing, right? The more that it takes us off course from actually operating in who we really are, right? And so in my mind, I want to try to keep my backpack as empty as I can. And that's something I'm looking at daily in my mind. I'm thinking like, wait a minute, is that really true? Like you said, like, or is there some kind of even like fear I'm coming up against? Okay, why am I feeling afraid of that? Is that real? Right. And I think that's one of the things that's probably helped me grow the most over especially the last few years, for sure. Yeah. It's been valuable.
One of the things I think is really relevant to what you just said is it's a philosophy that I talk about all the time in our company and like on our staff meetings and anytime we're talking about building processes is, you know, do only that which only, right? Because you have your unique set of skills and your unique story and all that kind of stuff. And I think as a leader of the company, you have to operate that way if you want the rest of your staff to operate that way. If you want them
that's
to
right.
operate in a they're showing up and doing work that really only they can do. And you want to build your company that way because that's where like every aspect of your company, you know, especially with all these AI tools coming in, all this stuff that we mentioned before, the power that's going to come from your team and your company and everything that you're building is going to be from the humans bringing their unique skill sets, their superpowers, right? Like that we're talking about to bear on whatever right. problems that you solve in the marketplace. And so I think it's a really important skill to cultivate in yourself so that you can also cultivate it into your team. And if you do that work, it's the kind of thing that will separate you from other companies. It'll separate you from the competition and it's going to happen faster now than it's ever happened in the past when companies know how to show up and share their story and be human.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, and I always say this too, like it's not complicated, but it is hard to practice. And it's yeah. hard to practice because of everything that we have coming at us every day. And I think a lot of times we can believe that there's a fast track to success or there's a fast track when it even comes to marketing, right? Or getting from here to there or growing our business. And there's so many brands or companies or individuals that provide those fast tracks. But from what I've seen in my experience, there isn't a fast track. But I do think that those that know how to authentically engage with their people and audiences will be on a faster track than we have been on coming up here in 2024, 25.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. So I want to flip the coin, right? We talked a little bit about superpower and you mentioned this a little bit, but you know, every superhero and every superpower has the flip side of that coin, the fatal flaw, right? And so just yeah. like Superman has his kryptonite or Wonder Woman has her bracelets of victory that she can't remove without going mad. You probably have a flaw that's held you back in your business, something you struggled with. For me, I struggled with perfectionism for a long time. I still do. I want things to be perfect all the time. But the problem with perfectionism is it doesn't exist. So you never ship things and you're not actually doing anything. So it's not a great standard to hold yourself to. And, you know, I also struggled with lack of self-care. So I didn't have, you know, good relationships with my time or good relationships with my clients and boundaries and stuff like that. But I think more important than what flaw is how have you worked to overcome it so you can continue to grow your business the way you have been over the last few years.
Oh, that's so good. So I was torn between two as you're asking this question. I was thinking about impatience. I think in the past, I have been impatient at times and I have rushed ahead of the timeline. And I think sometimes it's just not time yet. It's just not time. And so it's having wisdom and sitting back. And it doesn't mean that you can't take action. It just means that I think it's really important to read the people in the room, so to speak, and read the people that you're working with and think about really what they want and also where they are at the current time and what they're facing and if they're going to have capacity to receive what you're saying or what you're working on, what you're doing. And so I would say that patience has been a big lesson for me and I have really just learned to let it go. I think probably surrender is the word, like wave the white flag. A while ago, I actually ordered a pack of white flags for our family because I thought, you know, sometimes when you just get like in the heat of the moment and you know that nothing good is going to come from it, we just need to get those white flags and wave them for a break. So I have two. The other one, probably the biggest one though, is fear. And I think that, you know, starting something where I was going to be really advising people, there's a great weight and a responsibility that comes with that. I take it very personally. Like I feel the ownership of that. And so I think that over the years, just starting new things, right? A mastermind, a podcast, a course, a book, you know, consulting and coaching and wherever else that goes, you know, there's constant fear. And the fear can sometimes be, am I good enough? Am I qualified? Am I going to do a good enough job? Am I going to get this right? Do I know what I'm doing? You know, all of those thoughts that you can have. and they creep in. So you might be someone who's not having any of that. Like, I'm good. I've been doing this for years. Like, I know what I'm doing. And I could probably have sometimes said the same thing. But I think if you start looking beyond the surface and you dig into like what's going on in your subconscious mind, you really listen to those thoughts, you will find that there is fear buried under fear can be buried actually even under pride. Fear can be buried under arrogance, anger, any range of these other emotions I've discovered. And so what I've started to do, what's really helped me in terms of a tangible tool, is asking myself every day, like a once a day check-in, what am I afraid of today? And literally just either blah, blah, blah. I'm afraid, you know, X, Y, Z. I'm afraid. And just going through it. And then, you know what I realized, and I talk about this in the book too, it's like the monsters in the dark and turning the flashlight on, and you realize like there's actually not a monster there. It was just the shadow of the lamp kind of thing. That's really what happens. That's what happens when you regularly take an account of fear. And so that would be my number one.
That's scary.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting thing too, because I know like what popped in my head is the imposter syndrome. A lot of those fears come out as imposter syndrome. And like, I have that all the time where I'm like, I don't know if I'm being a good dad. I don't know if I'm being a good leader in my company. I don't know if I'm doing good work. I'm not sure the marketing decisions that we're making are going to be good. I don't know if the financial decisions we're going to make are going to turn out the way that I want them to. Because for one of the things about being an entrepreneur is generally we're leading, which means you're out front, which means there's nobody really who's already cleared the path. So you you're making all these decisions on what is essentially your best guess, right? It might be an educated guess, really good at what you're doing, but
that's right.
At the end of the day, we're always making a best guess and seeing what happens and adjusting course as we go. And it's a scary place. It's a scary place to be the captain, right? To the captain of the ship who's like, yeah, we're going to take this journey and see where it goes. Where I think that's part of what makes entrepreneurship lonely.
Yes.
Is that fear of like, hey, I'm the one who's making these decisions and I know it's going to impact not just me, but it's going to impact my team and it's going to impact their families and it's going to impact our clients and it's going to impact their clients. And like all of that weight is with you all the time for every decision. And so it makes sense that you're afraid of it. Right. And it's the kind of thing that like, if you didn't have a little bit of fear going into those kind of decisions, like, are you actually aware of what you're doing? So to your point, actually shining the flashlight, I mean, this is what I'm afraid of. Happen if we do this marketing thing, you know, maybe it fails, right? And maybe we just what do? You just do it again, right? We just do something else. We're gonna course correct, right? And again, we've talked this about a few times. It's freeing to ask yourself about those fears and to bring them up and to acknowledge them. What's not freeing is to try and hide them and to not acknowledge them and to not bring them up and to not deal with it. Because, like I said, what we're doing isn't easy, and it's okay to acknowledge that. And man, I've been feeling that over the last couple of months too with our company. We've grown a lot and there's a lot of new things that are happening and a lot of new things that I haven't ever had to deal with before. And like, I get off the phone with someone like, oh, by the way, did you know if you don't have this thing, you're not in compliance with this law over here in this area? And I'm like, oh, I did not know that. Those are like all new things. And like, it's just constant. And every time you get to a new level or a new area, there's a whole bunch of new, you know, put it in video game terms, new baddies to figure out how to defeat.
That's right. That's so true. It's new territory. Like, new heights, new territory, and different monsters, right? That you got to shine the flashlight on at every level.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think monsters is a great place to get into my next question for you, which is about your common enemy, right? So every superhero has what I call an arch nemesis, right? It's a thing that they constantly have to fight against in their world. And in the terms of business, we like it in the context of your clients, right? And it's a mindset or a flaw that they come to you with that you have to constantly fight to overcome so that you can actually get them the result that they came to you for in the first place. So in your world, what would the arch nemesis be that you constantly have to fight against?
Another great question. I think it is definitely, and I started to mention this a little bit earlier, but it's the expectation that there is a fast track, that as soon as we get the strategy and you guys hit the button on running the ads, generating the lead generator, new website, or, you know, all those things, right, that are the output, that the business is just going to come to me all at once. We're going to get a surge or a rush, you know, and that is just not the way that it works. It is a keep a steady pace and show up consistently and authentically and genuinely build process for any business that we have served. And so I would say that the mindset is expecting a quick fix and not realizing that it is a marathon and it's not a sprint.
So I both love that and hate that. I love it because it's so true and hate it because I deal with it myself.
I know.
I hate it too.
I wish it was a sprint.
I want it to all be here now. Like, we did all the work. But one of the things, like, we're in the podcast space and people all the time are like, you know, what if I take, you know, is it 25 minutes or is it 45 minutes for the podcast? Or is it this sort of style or that sort of style? Or is it interview style or is the other thing? It's like, you take everything that goes into a podcast, all of it, like 99% of the effort, and scrap it all. And if you just show up consistently over a long period of time, it will work.
That's right.
The only thing that matters. Is like,
that's it.
And like, you hear the 80-20 rule. I'm like, it's probably more like 95-5. Like 95% of the job is just showing up consistently over time. And the rest of it, it's just tweaking the consistency. Like, you know, how are we going to do that? Maybe we're going to do this, that, or the other thing. Like, they're all just adjustments to that showing up consistently. You hate it because you have to show up consistently. But at the same time, it's the only thing that really matters.
I know. I'm with you. I know. It's just, that's part of the journey, right? But, you know, it's also, as I look back on it, I also think I wouldn't have been prepared for the things that I'm doing now if I had gotten a fast track, right? If somehow I had sprinted to the top and not driven through the winding road, all of the character that's developed, all of the challenges that you figure out how to overcome, all of the moments of surrender, right? All of those things would not have happened if I had just been given a fast track. So at the end of the day, I can see why it was worth it. It's still annoying sometimes, though.
The way that I like to connect it in my own head is I like to connect to something that's really important to me. And also, like, a lot of people understand this, and it's parenting, right?
Yeah.
Parenting. Not about, like, you don't want to rush your kids to making it to 18 so you can kick them out. Like, you hear people all the time, enjoy every moment kind of thing. And it's that same sort of process of, like, what matters with your children is not what your discipline routine is or whether or not you're homeschooling or public schooling or what food you're feeding them. It matters that you showed up every day.
Right? So true.
Right. And it's like, you could raise your kids completely differently than I do, but if you showed up every day for yours and I showed up every day for mine, we're going to help create productive adults. Right. And it's like the same kind of thing when your business, right, is you just have to show up. And that's really what's going to make the difference, less than or more than whatever particular strategy you're following this day or the next day.
That's really good. I love that. Very true. I can relate to that in parenting for sure. It's showing up and your business, like, it's showing up even on the days when you don't want to show up, when you're discouraged, when you're tired, when you sometimes think you want to quit. It's showing up through all of those things and saying, OK, I'm still here. I'm still here, though. You know, so yeah.
And like, the thing that I always like go back to on that is I've started connecting my business to like the different stages of childhood. Like, you have a baby business and it requires a lot of attention and a lot of things. Like, you have to wipe its butt 4 times a day kind of thing.
Yeah, and, that's great.
Like, as it grows, like, I feel like we're like, our business now is like solidly in a teenager stage, where it's like, I can leave it for an afternoon or two or maybe even three and it can make its own meals and like take care of things. But like, if I left my business for a month, it would burn the house down.
Yes.
I'm like, I got to get it to the point where it's an adult business. It's not there yet, but like, that's the stages that I think of my business through, is like, how I'm trying to grow it into being its own sort of, you know, successful adult and useful in the society, that kind of thing. And like, we're trying to get it there, and it's not yet. We're still in the growing stages. So that's how I connect those two things in my head.
That's really good. It makes so much sense. It is a parallel journey for sure.
So I'm talking about the flip side of your common enemy. So if the common enemy is what you fight against, then your driving force is what you fight for. So just like, you know, Spider-Man fights to save New York, or Batman fights to save Gotham, or, you know, Google fights to index and categorize all the world's information. I want to know what it is that you fight for with your business, your mission, so to speak.
That's so good. Yeah. You know, I would say it really has to do, it's a culmination of the tagline, which is define your story, make it matter. And the book, which is Seen, Known, and Heard. I think I fight for, honestly, freedom for people. I fight for more freedom for people, because when they have the leadership training they need, or the strategy they need, or the marketing blueprint that they need, and it comes from a genuine place, and they're connected, right, with themselves, and they can connect with others, then I see how much it frees them up to operate in their lane. So if I had to put it in one word, I would really say that I fight for freedom for people and leaders and teams.
I love that. And the reason why is you know how you have like your LLC name for your business and then you have like your doing as our LLC name is Five Freedoms.
Nice.
And so I talk about this with my staff all the time, but I also talk about it occasionally on the podcast and a few other places. But the five freedoms are political freedom, which is, you know, your government basically not telling you what you can or can't do, your financial freedom, which is your bank account telling you what you can or can't do, your time freedom, which is your time being determined for you or not, your location freedom, which is, you know, are you free to do what you want to do, where you want to do it, and then your health freedom, which is your body telling you what you can or can't do. And so I always like to look at like, how is our life and our business contributing to freedom in those areas? Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting that like all the way down to like even the political freedom kind of thing, it's like the bigger our business gets, the more impact we can have on things like political discourse. And so it makes sense to grow there. And like, you know, physical fitness is, you know, I put a lot of effort into, you know, I do martial arts with my son to really work on my body fit and that kind of stuff. Cause it's like, I can't show up and do what I need to do for my business if I don't have the body to support it. Right. Cause it's the only engine we get to drive through this thing called life. And so I'm always looking at that internally. It's like, how are these decisions in my business and in my life affecting these areas of freedom?
Yes, absolutely. That's so good. And yeah, it really, like, as you're talking, you know, I'm just thinking that's a very holistic approach. And I do think that it is a holistic approach. Even as I'm working with teams and leaders and all those things, whether it's strategy or marketing or leadership, you know, we all are individuals. And if we're able to get freer personally, that's going to also translate into our businesses as well. So I just believe that so much. And I've seen that wholeheartedly in leaders that I've served. I've watched them go from a lot of rocks in their backpack, so to speak, to taking them out and being lighter. And it's just been so cool to see how they've been able to run better in their businesses. So, I mean, I think it's really directly related, and that is just as important as freedom, you know, from a business sense.
Yeah. The personal freedom and all the stuff that goes along with it. And man, it's one of those things that I think for a long time, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs, we separate our personal life from our business life. And like, I think a lot of it is that metaphor we have of the work-life balance. We're trying to like, here's our work life over here and here's our business life or our home life over here. And we're trying to like balance them out. And I always hated that metaphor because I think it tries to separate the two and you realize that like reality is the same. Your work and life are all part of who you are and the story that you're telling and the story that you're writing in the world. And so the metaphor that I use now is a rubber band metaphor. It's like, you know, hey, sometimes you stretch the rubber band, right? And if you want to have forward momentum, you have to stretch the rubber band because that's how you're going to shoot forward. But the only way that you get forward momentum is if you let go, right? If you let go of the rubber band. Because if you stretch the rubber band too hard, like, you know what happens? It breaks, right?
Yeah.
Or if you keep it stretched, it'll lose its elasticity and then it won't be able to have forward momentum anymore. And so we have to go from like those periods of where we're working or we're putting effort into like switching back to the relaxed state. So, you know, that's the whole permission to play metaphor again. And it all goes right back to freedom, right? And you have to have the freedom to say yes to yourself, to say yes to your health, to say yes to your time with your kids and all the other stuff that goes into take ox out of your backpack.
Yeah, that's right. That's so good.
Cool.
And now a quick word from our show's sponsor. Hey there, fellow podcaster. Having a weekly audio and video show on all the major online networks that builds your brand, creates fame, and drives sales for your business doesn't have to be hard. I know it feels that way because you've tried managing your show internally and realize how resource intensive it can be. You felt the pain of pouring 8 to 10 hours of work into just getting 1 hour of content published and promoted all over the place. You see the drain on your resources, but you do it anyways because you know how powerful it is. Heck, you've probably even tried some of those automated solutions and ended up with stuff that makes your brand look cheesy and cheap. That's not helping grow your business. Don't give up though. The struggle ends now. Introducing Push Button Podcasts, a done-for-you service that will help you get your show out every single week without you lifting a finger after you've pushed that stop record button. We handle everything else: uploading, editing, transcribing, writing, research, graphics, publication, and promotion, all done by real humans who know, understand, and care about your brand almost as much as you do. Empowered by our own proprietary technology, our team will let you get back to doing what you love while we handle the rest. Check us out at pushbuttonpodcast.com/hero for 10% off the lifetime of your service with us, and see the power of having an audio and video podcast growing and driving micro celebrity status and business in your niche without you having to lift more than a finger to push that stop record button. Again, that's pushbuttonpodcast.com/hero. See you there. And now, back to the Hero Show.
So we're getting near the end of our hour here. So I'm going to skip a couple of my questions because we've talked for a while on some of these. And I want to ask you about your guiding principles, right? One of the things that makes heroes heroic is that they live by a code. For instance, Batman never kills his enemies. He only ever brings them to Arkham Asylum. So as we get near the end of the interview here, I want to talk about the top one or maybe two principles that you run your life by, run your business by.
Oh, these are great questions. I think it's really what I talk about with the book. And yeah, I mean, I think it's seeing and knowing and hearing people. I think that's probably the most important thing that I really strive to do with our team. And then with also the people that we serve, I just feel like our main job is just to really be focused on seeing and hearing and knowing them and then who they serve. At the end of the day, that's going to fill them up. It's also going to overflow onto who they serve, right? It's a ripple effect. You know, it's going to deliver some freedom to them, refreshment. And so ultimately that keeps us going, right? That keeps us all going. And then the other is just, I think, leaving people better than we found them. It's just going the extra mile. It's doing the little things. It's recognizing where they are, what they have going on, and truly leaving them better than we found them. Those are probably the two that I would say.
Yeah. The leaving it better than you found it is a principle that I was taught in high school from my Christian sort of, I don't know what you call it. It was like a on school campus kind of thing. And I remember my first mentor there, he used to say that. He was like, always leave people better than you found them, even if it's just a smile. And it was like, it was just constantly sort of ingrained in me growing up that you leave it better than you found it. And, you know, even my kids nowadays, we go on hikes and then they'll pick up trash when we go on hikes because they want to leave it better than they found it. So I love that as a principle. I want to talk a little bit about the seen, known, and heard. And the reason I want to bring that up is because, like, I think people know what it means to be seen, and I think they know what it means to be heard. But I'm curious, I want to hear a little bit more about what you think it means to be known. Like, when you're talking, you know, maybe put this in the context of working with a team, right? Because a lot of our people who are listening are entrepreneurs themselves. And so what do you mean specifically when you say, hey, you want to make sure that someone is known?
That is, yeah, that's really good. Because you're right, it is seen and heard is a little bit more self-explanatory. Like, you can kind of figure that out. But being known, when I talk about it in the book, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen right away. It's to the people closest to you. So if you can just, even as you're listening to this, think about the people in your life that you're closest to or that you feel the most known by, you'll start to get a sense of what that looks like. And you might have people that you feel known by that know different parts of you, right, really well. So you might have someone that knows you, like you feel really known at work by a particular person. You might have a person that you feel really known, like in how you operate, maybe in social settings. No one can fully know all of us. I think it's very difficult because we're always changing. We're always growing and evolving and staying the course. So it's not possible for quite all of you to be known, I don't think, by any other human, or even for us to know ourselves. It's really a journey. But I think in the context of teams, being known looks like taking the time to stop and have conversations. And they don't have to be big conversations. They can just be little bits at a time and just paying attention, just taking that in and filing that away in your mind, you know, and over time, you'll start to see what really matters to them. And it's also seeking to understand their story. Like, where did they come from? You know, what was their upbringing like? You know, how did that impact how they are today? And I think when we are able to take some of that in and make those connections, that really enables us to know them in a different light. So it's more than just seen and heard can be more on the surface, like in the moment. Okay, am I seeing you? Am I hearing you? But known happens over time. It's the cultivation of those relationships. It's the small conversations that are actually meaningful, though, and impactful. And it's asking the extra question or two to really understand them.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. Cause like, I feel like a lot of people understand the seen and the heard, right? Cause it's an active thing that I can do. I can listen to you. I can hear you. And then when it comes to being known, I think this is where like this whole conversation that we've been having up to this point, we talked about you know, being a story born people and learning how to tell your story. And I think we mentioned earlier, it's like, hey, people judge the depth of relationships based on how much the other person's story they know. So when you talk about being known, what you're talking about is actually like extracting the story from someone else, right?
Yeah.
Who are they? What makes them tick? Who are the people that they care about? Why do they show up at work every day? What's their buy-in to your mission, right? What, you know, what are the things that they do when they get off work and they have fun, right? Like, who are they? And it's finding out their stories and finding out their goals, right? And one of the things like we talk about in all of our company meetings is like one of our our core values is that like, hey, we want your part of the time that you spend as part of our team to be valuable to you. And like the only way we can do that is if we take the time to find out what are their goals, right? Are they looking to move into a bigger house or a bigger apartment or buy a horse? Or like, what's the things that they're interested in doing and how does their work for us help them get there? Right. And that's what the whole being known, I think, where you're trying to get to or what you want to talk about is like, you want to know their story. You want to know their humanity.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah. So I think like we were talking about with AI and all the things, you know, it's going to become more and more important that people are known. And I think it'll be apparent to people, you know, the surface level communications versus the intentional communications. And so even from a business growth perspective, being known, I believe, is going to become more and more important.
Yeah. And that's why I really love that you have all three of those tied together, the seen, known, and heard. Because like you could have just seen and heard. Like, that's just the surface level stuff. But if you can pair those together with being known, now it's a superpower.
That's so true. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. That's great.
So I think that's a great place to wrap our interview. I do finish every interview with a simple challenge I call the Heroes Challenge. And I do this to help get access to stories we might not otherwise find on our own. So the question is simple. Do you have someone in your life or in your network who you think has a cool entrepreneurial story? Who are they? First names are fine. And why do you think they should come share their story with us here on the Hero Show? First person that comes to mind for you.
That's such a good question. Probably my friend Mike. He's brilliant. And he is a serial entrepreneur. And just an amazing creative brain. And he has a really incredible story about his upbringing. You talk about defining your story and making it matter and how it is threaded throughout his work and his life. So he definitely comes to mind.
See if we can reach out later, maybe get them to come say yes and come on an interview. Not everyone does, but when they do, we get some unique, interesting stories that way. But in comic books, there's always the crowd of people at the end who are clearing and cheering and clapping for the acts of heroism. So as we close up, our analogous to that on this show is, where can people find you? Where can they light up the bat signal, so to speak, and say, hey, Lauren, I'd love to get your help with my own story for our business. But I think more important than where is who are the right types of people to reach out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have worked with entrepreneurs, right, that obviously have established businesses. I would say they're usually in years 3 through 10, so to speak. And then our agency works with everybody. We work with small and medium-sized businesses primarily, and even nonprofits, in developing their marketing strategies and then their vision, mission work, and coaching leaders. And you can find us at storywork.co, or you can go to my author page, which is laurencshippy.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today, Lauren. If you are in that space where you're looking to get help developing your story, you've gotten to hear a little bit of Lauren's story today and how she works and whatnot. So if that's you, definitely reach out. We'll make sure the links are in the show notes below this video. And Lauren, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story today. Really appreciate your time. Do you have any final words of wisdom for our audience before I hit this stop record button?
I would just say, keep going. Like, you can do it and it's worth it on the winding road. Just embrace it and keep going. Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Hero Show, where we work to shift the cultural narrative around entrepreneurship and celebrate the heropreneurs who make our world a better place. Don't forget to visit our website at theheroshow.tv, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you'll never miss an episode. If you found value in our show, we'd truly appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or better yet, share it with a friend to help us spread the message of entrepreneurship as a force for good. Curious to learn more about the stories and insights of these incredible heropreneurs? Check out our in-depth interviews and resources on our website. Together, let's support and inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs as they embark on their own heroic journeys. Join us again next week for another episode of The Hero Show, where we'll continue to explore the world of heropreneurs, their superpowers, and the positive impact they bring to our lives. Until then, stay heroic.